I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. So say the words of the beautiful hymn written by Mary Brown, and they express very perfectly the idea of obedience to God. If we are going to be pleasing to the Father, we must have that kind of obedience. For Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9 tell us that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey Him. Obedience, then, is the dividing line. It separates those who will go to heaven from those who will be lost eternally in hell. Are you obedient to God? Have you done all that God has commanded? That's our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world.
Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you, Jim, and we thank all of you for joining us today for this time of Bible study. Set your Bible near the radio and be prepared to sit down, open that Bible, and open your heart. Approach God's Word openly and honestly, and I know that you will indeed be blessed by your obedience to God. We began the study by looking at the fact that God has spoken, and some men replied by saying, "Who is God?" Some did not know Him at all. Some knew Him, but did not realize what they were hearing was, in fact, the voice of the Lord. Others did not know about God or believed in some other God. Yet when they heard the Word of God and obeyed it, they were forced to conclude there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. This, of course, was a reference to Jehovah God, the great I Am. The second week we looked at a number to whom God spoke, yet they disobeyed. One who disobeyed intentionally. Because of greed, he was doing all that he could to circumvent, to go around what God had said. We also looked at one to whom God spoke, and we believe that he genuinely intended to obey God and tried to, but because a man lied to him, and he believed that lie, he was disobedient, and God punished him by taking his life. They heard what God said. They knew that it was the God of heaven who was speaking, and initially they were disobedient. But over time, they repented, and because of that repenting, they were blessed by God. We looked at the man Moses, who we think of as a great deliverer of God's people, and sometimes we forget all of the disobedient things that he did in trying not to go and do what God said. We also looked at the man Nebuchadnezzar, who we do not think of as a servant of the Lord. Yet we understand from Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 34, that he learned that there is a God in heaven and that the God of heaven rules even in the affairs of men. And he concluded chapter 4 of the book of Daniel by saying, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." This man learned that there was, in fact, a God in heaven, and that all men, even the king of Babylon, must obey him. So far, then, in this study, we've seen that God speaks and man reacts in different ways. Some did not know who God is. Some did not recognize truth as coming from God. Some know who God is, but do not obey and are punished. Others hear God's word and disobey at the time, but in later times they repent and turn to God in an obedient respect for Him and His Word. Today we conclude our study by considering one who heard God speak and was completely obedient. God has spoken. I will obey. We're talking about the great man Noah. Noah was a man who lived very early in the record of the Bible. We see that God created the earth and everything that He created was very good. Yet sin soon entered the world. Adam and Eve fell to sin in the garden, and because of that, they were expelled from the garden. But man continued this slide into sin, until finally in Genesis chapter 6, and beginning in verse 13, God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Now, I know much about the ark. I know exactly how long it was, how high it was, how wide it was. I know how it was configured regarding its doors and windows. I know all of these things, having never seen it, because I know what God commanded Noah to do. And I also know that Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." If I know what God commanded Noah, and I know that Noah did all that God commanded, I know what was done, and I know what this ark looked like. Now, I know that there are many who are enamored with trying to find the ark today, but I do not need to find it to know that it existed, to know how it was shaped, what size it was, and how it was used. I also know that because of Noah's obedience, God rewarded him. It's very interesting to me that when it came time for Noah to enter the ark, God did not tell him to go into the ark. Rather, God invited him to come into the ark. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen thy righteousness before me in this generation." It's interesting to me that we find a pattern here with Noah that applies to us today. God instructed Noah exactly what to do in order to be saved from the flood. Noah obeyed exactly what God said in order to be saved from the flood. And God, seeing Noah's righteousness, invited him in to the place of safety. Today, God gives us very specific instructions as to what we must do in order to be saved from sin. If we obey in every detail those specific instructions that are given, then God sees our acts of righteousness, and God invites us in to the place of safety, the church, the body of those who are saved. Now, that doesn't mean to imply that Noah earned his salvation, for he did not. Nor can we earn our salvation from sin. However, to appeal to God to save us without those works of obedience is a vain and empty effort. If Noah had simply sat back and said, "I really believe that you are Jehovah. I really believe that you are going to bring a flood. I really believe that you are going to destroy men, and I really believe that you have the power to save me from this flood," would God have saved him? The answer, of course, is no. And for a man to sit back to say, "And today, I believe in God. I believe God alone has the power to save me from my sins. I believe that God can take me to heaven, that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe all of that," and yet fail to do the works of obedience that God has instructed, would be the same as Noah having faith without building the boat. We understand from this then that we should follow the example of Noah. In the end, when our life is over, can someone say of you, "Thus did so-and-so, according to all that God commanded him, so did he"? If that is not the message that you would leave behind with your life, then you need to repent, and so do I. We also need to understand that although Noah did well in this particular case, Noah was not a sinless man. He was man, and he did sin. There is a better example for us even than that of Noah. That is the example of Christ. For John chapter 15 and verse 10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." The difference is that we will stumble along the way and need to get up and try again. Jesus never failed. Jesus never sinned. Jesus never stumbled. Jesus learned his true obedience through the suffering that he endured, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. He demonstrated his true obedience in the sacrifice that he made on the cross, John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Just as the Father commanded, Jesus did. Can you say the same about yourself? As the Father has commanded, I have done. Consider again the man Noah as we close our comments today. Noah was told what to do, did it, and was invited into the ark with God. He was not sent into the ark. That would have separated him. But rather, he was invited into the ark to be with God. God was there to protect him. There is an opportunity for us to answer the invitation of God, both here on this earth, and if we do so, there is a greater invitation coming. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 32, we read a record of the judgment day that is to come. And it says, "Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Noah was invited, come into the ark. We can be invited, come into my heavenly kingdom. It is really up to us. Will we obey? Will we do as God has said? God has spoken. I hope your answer is, I will obey. Today we have studied about the man Noah. We've noticed that Noah was a great man in many ways because he did obey God. When we are told in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 that thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He set an example for all of us, an example that we should follow. We need to make the commitment now that we will obey God in every detail. If you're not a child of God already, you can be, by hearing God's Word and that Word causing faith in your heart. And I'm not talking about just believing that God exists, but rather having a faith that moves you to acts of obedience, so that you will repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ before men, and then be baptized in water to have your sins washed away. If you're willing to do that, then like Noah, you can say, I have done all that the Lord has commanded. And if you continue to live a life of faithful service to God, in the end you have His promise that He will save you.